Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our goal is to bring you interesting topics and guests. We are broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Joining us today will be Sam Tenuto from the Pioneer Center. Sam has his two associates, Randy and DJ, with us today. Sam, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about Pioneer Center and our impact on the community, and community awareness is important to Pioneer. Thank you for the opportunity. It's great to be here.
You're quite welcome. You want to tell the folks about Pioneer Center and what your plan is for the future and how you want to make people more aware of what goes on at Pioneer Center?
Yeah, we would love to. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. I'll start with what we are, but then quickly go back to the history of Pioneer. So Pioneer Center serves mainly McHenry County, and we provide three vital areas of service to our community. One is services for people with intellectual and developmental disability. We also provide services for behavioral health and mental health, and we also provide services for those suffering from homelessness in our community, operating the Community PADS Emergency Homeless Shelter. Our agency is about to celebrate our 64th year of serving the community, which is powerful. So myself, DJ, and Randy, it's a wonderful opportunity to serve the community, but it all started 64 years ago. So 64 years ago, a group of families, mainly living in the Wonder Lake area, came together. And what brought them together was the love of their children. Each of those family members had a child with a developmental disability, mainly Down syndrome. So this would be right around 1958. And what they were concerned about and what they hoped for was that the families had other children. And they realized that their children that did not have a disability, they looked at how their life was probably going to hopefully proceed. You know, go to school, find a job, make friends, maybe go to college, maybe get married, and do and experience everything that the community offers, and also really lay out what their dreams and hopes are. So they saw that with their children that did not have a disability, but when they looked at their children, for example, with Down syndrome, they realized that there was not the same level of opportunity for their kids to achieve their dreams and hopes. And that was very concerning. Again, they had great love for their kids, and it was not acceptable. They wanted their children, all of their children, to experience everything in life, achieve their hopes and dreams, and really be empowered to reach their full potential. So those families came together, and they created the Pioneer Center Day Program. And that was cutting edge, because back in the 1950 era, there was just a tremendous lack of services for people with disabilities. In many ways, people with disabilities were isolated from the community. And they didn't have the same access to education, the same access to the community, same opportunities to make friends. So in many ways, their lives were very limited. And the families, out of love for their kids, they created a day program. And the spirit in the heart of that day program was to provide access to resources and opportunities for their children to develop their greatest potential. And they partnered with the community. So they partnered with the education system. They partnered with local doctors and therapists and partnered with local businesses and faith groups to really understand and have them be educated on what their kids were capable of doing. And they truly insisted that their children must have every opportunity to be part of the community, to grow and develop. So those families worked incredibly hard and in a lot of ways brave and courageous to do something that was very cutting edge in our community right here in McHenry County. And that was the start of Pioneer Center. Going forward, today's date, 2022, the heart of those families and the care of those families and the expectation to best serve and empower people still drives our services today. And that's powerful. There are families, the other generations. So we're still connected with some of the founding families through those younger generations. And they'll come by, they'll tour, they'll talk to Randy, give us a call. And, you know, we recognize what they did for our community, which is powerful. Today, Pioneer Center has definitely grown. So as I mentioned earlier, there's three core areas of services that Pioneer Center provides. We're a private nonprofit, heavily dependent on state funding and the generosity and contribution of our community. And we serve all corners of the community. So trying to break down what Pioneer Center looks like, there's three pillars. So I'm going to do a little pass off here. Our intellectual and developmental disability services division, we call them our pillars. That pillar was our founding pillar for Pioneer Center. It's our largest pillar of our agency. Last fiscal year, I think we served about 1,100 people, roughly. And out of that, the greatest amount was through our developmental disabilities. We have approximately 200 staff that are part of the Pioneer team. Our team is incredible at Pioneer Center, and the largest portion of the team works within our developmental disabilities. So I'm going to please pass it over to DJ to speak a little bit about our developmental disabilities, if that's okay.
Sure, and DJ, can you tell the folks what your position is with Pioneer Center?
Sure. I oversee all of the day and community-based programs for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities at Pioneer, and have a heavy involvement with our residential program as well, and have been there about 9 years now. So, and I'd like to echo what Sam was saying and really reflect on how Pioneer was founded as a safe place for people with developmental disabilities and almost a safe haven within the community, and it was absolutely the culture and what was needed at that point in time. One of the most amazing changes that I've seen happen in this field, and Pioneer has been a leader in that, is getting away from having safe places for people with disabilities in the community, and instead really focus on making these people part of the community, introducing them to their neighbors and to the people at businesses, and teaching them how to be in the community and really ensuring they know the skills they need to access that. And some of those are very base skills of how to access public transportation, how to manage their own money, but some of them are also helping people get jobs. It's helping people understand their doctors and ensure that they're getting the proper medical care. That has been the biggest change in the field. And as we talk about how we're founded, I always have to reflect on that, Sam, to think where we've come today, and Pioneer has made strides. We were known for having a workshop for people with disabilities for probably over 50 years. And Pioneer was one of the earliest in the state to eliminate that workshop. People were making subminimum wage work, making subminimum wage pay, putting things together and getting paid out that way. And on the average, they were making about $90 a year. And so they were coming 5 days a week, and that's what they were making. About 6 years ago, we really decided to get away from that programming and focused more on being a community hub for people with disabilities to help them access that. So now the people that we serve with intellectual and developmental disabilities, the ones who come to what used to be the workshop, now they come and they check in and they go out and they volunteer in the community. They work with 13 other not-for-profits in the county going and volunteering and providing services. So people with disabilities giving back. And that's something that in the past hasn't been a common theme. And what we're finding is the reward they're feeling from that is absolutely coming through in who they are and how they're enjoying life. We still give them opportunities to earn money. They still can earn a paycheck with us, but we do encourage them to find a job in the community. And by encourage them, that really means that we're willing to help them. And as they get started in a job, we'll help them get started. So we're always looking for employers, but we always have people who are looking for work and really prove that they are committed employees. The statistics show that they are an excellent hire for businesses, and the longevity that they have and the time that they stay is absolutely incredible when you compare that to a typical employee that's hired for a job that pays less than $20 an hour. You can get somebody who's committed and is an ambassador for a business. And I personally am very proud of that, that people with disabilities are seen that way now versus us trying to shelter them in a single spot.
Well, DJ, do you try to place them with businesses, or do you contact businesses to say that we have these folks available?
All of the above, absolutely. We reach out directly to businesses and say, we've got people who want to work. What do you have? What positions do you have open? We also have people that come to us and they've already found a job, but they need help getting started. And we've also had businesses call us and say, we're short staff and we've got these jobs. Do you have anybody? So we will assist in any way possible getting people a job. And beyond that, we'll help get them started. We have staff that can go and help them do the, help them start the orientation and make sure that they're comfortable, as well as provide some training for the business as well. One of the big hesitations that businesses have is that their employees aren't familiar with interacting with people with disabilities, and so there's a concern or there's misconceptions about working with someone who has an IDD, and that just doesn't need to be the case. We can come in and do trainings for all employees or for supervisors and whatever that might need to help prepare them as well.
So the start would be for the business or the employer to say, okay, here's the job that I want filled, the position I want filled. So it gives you an idea of whether that's going to fit or not fit, or what needs to be done. Just like with the Amazon eventually opening in Huntley, that may offer some opportunities for these folks too, where they may fit in some of those positions, depending upon what it entails and how you wind up training them to prepare for those jobs, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. We work with businesses in that way, in the sense that if they call us, we are any given point, we're helping about 50 to 70 people look for jobs at any given point in time. And so if they call us and they tell us what that job is that they need filled, we know who we're helping. We know whose resume we have in our hands that's looking for a job currently. So we're not a staffing service, but we sure have access to a lot of information that businesses can garner from us in finding employees.
How are you contacting businesses? Like today, there's so many companies that are looking for people. You see, you know, hire signs all over the place. So how are you approaching those people? How are you contacting those businesses to let them know what you offer and what you do?
Sure. We have a team within our team that is their whole job, and they reach out to businesses on a daily basis and walk in the front door and shake hands. They make phone calls as well, and certainly we've had to adjust some during COVID. Phone calls are a lot easier to avoid than us walking in the door.
Right.
Especially when we can walk in and say, hey, we might have some employees for you. Right now, when we say that, the businesses are all over it, and they really want to learn more about what we do. The phone calls don't always get returned, but when we walk in and shake somebody's hand, the team that does that gets response, and they get response very quickly.
I'm sure that some businesses are not sure whether the person can handle a job or not. They have that concern, well, is this going to work or not work? And they're worried about the person getting hurt on the job, things like that. So it's really important, I think, that the work that you do to let them know that, no, this is something, a task this person can do, and that they can work in this position. But that's part of where you come in and what you do with the employer.
Absolutely, absolutely. We get brought in for that exact reason long before they hire anyone. For a lot of businesses, is just to put their concerns at ease.
You're listening to 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station, and we will continue on with our conversation with the folks from the Pioneer Center. DJ, the other thing I wanted to ask you is that I imagine you work with grants, too, for funding.
Absolutely.
And are there three primary areas that you serve? If you had to pick three areas, what would they be?
Well, as an agency, I go back to our three pillars that Sam introduced. So obviously, I work specifically with the IDD division and people with developmental disabilities, but we've had a strong focus on our homeless services over the last few years in order to get that new shelter open, and it's paid off because it's actually been able to happen for us as an agency, and it's really cool to see. And our behavioral health services as well. I don't know anyone in the county who's familiar with behavioral health services that would say that McHenry County has enough services, especially right now coming out of COVID, that nobody's able to meet the needs in the county for the behavioral health, services that are needed.
And how about your PADS or emergency homeless shelters, things like that?
Absolutely. So we're applying for grants for there all the time. They are traditionally very underfunded. Certainly as I work with people with IDD, I will always tell you that we're underfunded and we can't pay the staff enough and we can't do everything that we want to. We have funding. For years, there was no funding for PADS that was coming outside of grants or local funding that existed for PADS. And so as much as I'd like to say IDD is the only need that we have, because that's what I get to manage, certainly for the homeless services, they are dramatically underfunded as well.
Can you tell us about your new Pioneer Bright program located in Huntley?
Absolutely. So Pioneer traditionally has served, we will say we serve all of McHenry County, but we have not had any locations anywhere near Huntley. We have been based out of McHenry in a large setting, and we would have people that would transport to McHenry from Huntley and even from a little west of here. But we really were starting to feel a need from families calling us looking for services in this area. And so we have started a small program in collaboration with NISRA in the Huntley Park District. So it's located at Dyke Park at the Park District. And it's only going to be about 25 people in that program, and we are taking registrations now, and you can just call Pioneer if somebody's interested. But this is kind of our first foot in Huntley. From here, once that program is full with registrations, then we will be looking to put a home for people with disabilities here. We have 10 homes throughout the county right now that are staffed specifically for people with disabilities. 8 of those are staffed 24 hours a day. So as we're getting our foot here in Huntley, this is only the first step, only the first foot coming in. So we're excited to come down to this area and really provide services. And there are some other providers south of here, but Huntley has been underserved as I recognize it over the years.
So Sam or DJ, what really is the mission of Pioneer Center? Everyone has a mission. What's your mission statement?
Sure. Our mission is focused on helping people achieve 3 core areas: wellness, independence, and inclusion. And those 3 key areas really cover all 3 pillars of Pioneer Center too. Pioneer Center is part of the fabric of the community. You know, we have served families and people for 40 plus years, staff 40 plus years, and we really believe our mission has a wide impact on the community. Many of our staff live in the community. We're very focused on the overall wellness of the community, and as we're successful, it does have impact on the overall wellness. It could be, you know, physical wellness, mental health wellness, even economic wellness. I've been in meetings lately talking about how, as DJ mentioned, the vocational services, behavioral health services, homeless services, all of those we do because we truly care about the people we serve. That's the heart of it. But there also is an economic impact. There's a business impact. We want people to be successful. We want our community to succeed. And the mission drives the work. It's important to Pioneer and our community.
So is there a future initiative for Pioneer Center that you see right now that you folks are thinking about?
Yeah, right now, Pioneer is focused on thoughtful expansion. And I use the word thoughtful because, you know, the past couple of years have been tricky. The pandemic, obviously. We do feel like we're on the back end of it, but, you know, we'll follow what the community is also feeling related to the pandemic. We're also dealing with a hiring crisis right now, just like pretty much all businesses are in the area.
Sure.
And but by using the word thoughtful, you know, our job is to serve the community. So in all 3 pillars, we're looking at making incremental advancements to do more. We do receive frequent phone calls, and we have wait lists for services. So, for example, with developmental disability services, DJ and the team are working on a new home to open in the city of McHenry, roughly about 60 days, serving people with autism and people with high-level needs related to autism that need a higher level of staff care and staff clinical training. So that initiative of a new group home, that ties into a community need and wait list across the state. There's just a lack of IDD services, especially residential services. But by thoughtful, we want to do this to make sure we're doing it well, as best as possible serving, and to make sure our finances and businesses are in good order. The state does make it tricky. We are underfunded. So there definitely is reliance on grants, as you mentioned earlier, private donations. I'll let Randy please speak about that in a little bit. So our timeline for future residential group homes, probably one every 12 to 18 months. That's the pace we're going to be at to do it the right way for Pioneer Center. Behavioral health right now, we have a wait list, and we have been impacted by the hiring crisis. So a future initiative is to find ways to hire, stabilize, and more quickly meet people on that waiting list. And we mainly serve youth, adolescents, and their families. So that's a critical need, especially spiraling within the pandemic too. On the homeless services, The future is going to be partnerships. So our, as DJ mentioned, our new homeless shelter, 70-bed shelter, opened summer of 2020. And our community has to do a greater job focusing on affordable housing, small living arrangements with a level of support and case management to help someone live outside of the shelter. So I'd say the future of homeless services for Pioneer Center is going to be collaborating. Our shelter is critical, but finding new initiatives to help people live more independently, you know, with the support they need permanently throughout the community.
So are you working with the different towns, like working with the cities in McHenry County to say, can you support us? Can you help us out here?
Yeah. So we're strongly connected with our local government. So at the county level, we do have several sources of county funding that we have to apply for that supports Pioneer and other providers throughout the agency. So there's a senior grant commission, which helps fund our senior day service program. We also receive county CDBG funding. At the city level, we do have some local cities that fund through operating. They fund general operating contributions straight to the shelter. Woodstock City, for example, the city of Woodstock has been a tremendous partner with support of the shelter. At the state level, just last week, we had Illinois Representative Suzanne Ness come out for a tour of the program. And what Pioneer does is, you know, we take a, you know, we take a neutral approach with all government connections. Our job is to educate all of our government officials and entities, be it city, county, township, and state, so they best understand Pioneer's needs. And why we do that education is we believe that the better they understand the needs, the better they're able to advocate and look what those government entities can do for Pioneer funding.
And Randy, how about your part in the program?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I get the good pleasure to go out and meet with the community and create awareness a lot, meeting with donors and businesses. You know, it's a great job. I get thanked a lot for, you know, what Pioneer does, and I always make sure that the people that are thanking me understand that it's really the staff and the managers that make it happen at Pioneer. But it's a great blessing to be able to tell the stories, much like you've heard from Sam and DJ here. So my department basically gets involved with all fundraising. So we run four major events a year. We have marketing in our world. That's something that we do, whether it be social media or email blast, that type of thing, getting the information out to the community. We also run the volunteer program within my department. So it's a lot of work raising funds, as Sam and DJ have alluded to. You know, there's a lot of gaps. We have some government funding and we get some grants, but there's still a lot of work to do to raise money for supporting the services of Pioneer.
I would imagine, too, people forget about one element of the whole program, is that you generate housing and food and what have you, but there's also clothing, and the clothing for the winter months, and, you know, how you keep these people in a situation where they've got this available to them so that they're not going without.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. We are surprised every day by the amazing generosity of this community, not just for homeless services, but for our whole program. We're constantly, daily getting requests to how can we help you, whether it be clothing, whether it be donations, whether people want to help pay for food for our kitchen in the PADS homeless shelter. It's truly amazing, the people of McHenry County and how they help support in that way. Yeah.
So how would they contact you, Randy?
Well, they call sometimes, but it's also very easy if they're comfortable with going to our website, pioneercenter.org. There's a form in there that they can fill out, and they can either request services or they can talk about donations that they'd like to make, or if they want us to contact them to talk more about supporting Pioneer.
The people that you're trying to reach generally are those that I'm sure that are heavily involved in the program right now know about you. Are they also giving you referrals to help you further your ambitions of expanding your programs?
Yeah, absolutely. Sam might know about it more from a whole agency standpoint.
Sure. And when you say referrals, are you talking about for new people served or referrals for people to support the agency contribution?
For support.
Right. There's Randy's field, all three of us. There's tremendous networking involved with this. So, for example, we have a a golf event coming up this summer. We do a moonlight event. All of our events within the cells are networking opportunities. What we've seen is, you know, once a person becomes passionate about Pioneer Services and they choose to help and serve with us, they tend to let other people know, friends, family members, other businesses. We love when one corporation supports Pioneer and they let another corporate know. So, for example, at the local chamber mixers and expos, you like having a buzz about what Pioneer does and the impact. And what we tend to see is then those people reach out to us and we do what we're doing here today. We educate on what we do. Hopefully there's an alignment in our mission and we welcome the opportunity to talk about our work, but we welcome the support. We're very proud of what we do. We take our work very seriously. You know, the charge of serving the community places high responsibility. So Randy, DJ, the other directors, Carrie and Aaron, they're all very serious about their work, but they're also inspired by their work. So, you know, we appreciate all partners and support.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today, Sam, DJ, Randy. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. If you want more information, go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us. And we're always willing to get your questions answered for you. Thank you again, gentlemen, for joining us today. Have a great day.